All right, so I've been selling, you know, and evangelizing Linux and open source for the last 11 years. Besides the suit, thanks for the pointing that out. So I have to visit customers in the afternoon. So yeah, yesterday I was in my nice, relaxed, you know, attire. Today I have to wear a suit. Started in the Linux Technology Center. Went to CollabNet. So for those of you who are familiar with OpenOffice, there's a company called StarDivision that was acquired by Sun. During my time in CollabNet, I actually went to Hamburg, Germany to teach those guys how to do open source as a consultant for CollabNet. I was with Red Hat in Sydney and Singapore. I was there for Red Hat for 4 years, and now I'm at Oracle Asia Pacific running Linux and open source for them. I'm a Red Hat certified engineer, as an interesting random aside, and I've been at Linux.conf today in random years. In each of those different years, I lived in a different city, and I worked for a different employer. So interesting, strange set of life. There's one of my senior Linux architects that works for Oracle. He's running around. I thought he might be in the session. I was going to introduce him, but he's not here, so I will skip that. So the title of the talk was something like, why would a large corporate create their own distribution? Right? We didn't. Right? In the end, we, you know, those of you who were here before, I'll assume that some of you weren't here before, so if I have some repetition, you'll have to excuse me. You know, we're completely focused on the data center in the end, so we took the leading distribution that was focused on the data center, cloned that, took out the trademarks, copyrights, and that's what we used as the basis for our support program. So if you take a look at the term, I'll do the terminology first to make sure that it's clear. Oracle Unbreakable Linux is a support program. Oracle Enterprise Linux is the actual bits and bytes on the CD. And in each of your delegate bags, you would have received a version. It says 4 on it, but it's not right. It's actually 5. You know, as you know, Linux software, you know, moves quite fast. Okay. So that's the terminology. So when I say Enterprise Linux, I'm talking about the bits and bytes. When I say Unbreakable Linux, that's the actual support program. Unlike Red Hat Enterprise Linux, we actually give away the distribution CDs, DVDs, as you have in your bag. You know, Red Hat doesn't do that. They actually, to buy Red Hat Enterprise Linux, then you get the media and the binary distribution. Okay. So let me go through just a little bit about what is the Unbreakable Linux support program. It's support for the Linux operating system available to anyone, not just Oracle customers. Now, clearly, we think some of the advantages of an Oracle-backed distribution are going to be high for Oracle customers, not to say they exclude non-Oracle customers. You know, most people want one-stop shopping for their support, integration, things that I'll explain. That's why they come to us. Okay? Dedicated development teams and delivery teams, in a sense of, we have a very small team that's the packaging team. Whereas if you take a look at the number of package maintainers and people like that in Novell for SUSE or Red Hat for RHEL, it's a substantial amount of people doing that work. There's no value to the customer base that we choose to service by repackaging the bits in different ways. Therefore, we minimalize our investment in that because it's just taking stuff and shoving it on a CD. Again, we're able to piggyback on Red Hat's work for that, which is fantastic. Now, what do we give to the community? What do we get from the community? Okay. We took our investment, our amount of, you know, I don't think of it as virtual cash. We had this chunk of money, and we could distribute it how we wanted to. We chose to put a lot of our money in upstream development and in back-end support. The two places that our customers would see value with us. Okay? Now, you know, obviously Oracle is the largest enterprise software company in the world, so you can read some of the things that are there that are a little bit marketing speak. Okay? We were very careful to say that it's not a new Linux distribution. It's based on the same as Red Hat. We actually publicly, those of you who know what a diff is, we've kind of done a distribution diff, published it on our website that shows exactly what we changed and which packages we changed. Okay. So when it says tracked Red Hat products releases, that's true and not true. Let me go through a little bit of details on that. Some of the stuff I've already drawn on the board, my handwriting is crap when I'm taking my time, so go from there. Now, what happens is you've got things that develop upstream, Apache, kernel, Samba, whatever. They go through Fedora, does the QA testing of Fedora, which has rapid releases, goes through RHEL, and I'll come back to this point in a second, and then it goes to Oracle Enterprise Linux. Depending on the version of RHEL that is released, how fast it gets picked up by Oracle Enterprise Linux. When we surveyed our customer base, what we found is that Oracle customers that are going to be running their infrastructure on this do not actually want the .0 release of RHEL quickly. They actually want that to take some time. So we, after an initial release, we normally take a good 6 weeks. Should use a different color. So for a .0, We do a 6-week delay to run it through the regression testing, which I'll talk to you later. Okay. Otherwise, if it's any package that we do not change, which is not in our diff, whenever it's released by Red Hat, we have scripts that continually take a look at what they're releasing. It goes into our automated build process and then it's put on our Unbreakable Linux network automatically. If it's a package that we do change or need to modify, that gets flagged to an engineer who's on call. They go through the process that's not automated because it's a package we actually take a look at and change. Now, those of you who are pedantic should start to think, what do you change? So let me explain to you how that actually happens. So you look at Oracle Enterprise Linux. Let's say we find a bug. What actually happens with that? Number one, it goes straight upstream. We have upstream kernel developers that work for us or other packages, not just the kernel. That's just what I was focusing on. We open a bug report with Red Hat and say, here's the bug, here's the patch. And we obviously provide that to our customers in a hotfix fashion. So I'll describe you what we call premier backporting in a minute, but that's the actual process there. So no one in the community can go, you guys are doing not the right thing. There's no way. We're giving it to everybody. And actually, we're doing extra effort to make sure that everybody gets it and tracks it in a certain specific way. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, Oracle Enterprise Linux tracks Red Hat releases. So you may say, what happens if Oracle fixes a bug and then Red Hat fixes it a different way? Okay, so we've got problems fixed in both fashions. Whose does Oracle take? As long as the problem is fixed in a future release, we take the patch from Red Hat. So we do not have a kernel patch set that's diverging over time. It gets released back into the normal Red Hat tree and we have that flow. Does that make sense? Yeah? So there's no, mine's bigger than yours or my patch is better than yours, none of that type of issue. We say, listen, bug fix, fine, move on. Okay? So that explains the delay that's there. Yeah, sure. Yes. Correct. Okay, so number one, you're asking me is a Red Hat question, but I can answer because I was there for a while, right? What we're doing is nothing special about being Oracle. Okay, it's you're opening up a bugzilla with Red Hat, which is open. You flag that as whatever package you're looking to update, kernel, whatever, and you put in there. There's a bunch of pull downs. It's bugzilla, right? So you go in there and say, patch version, da 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 da. Now we've built up a reputation of okay, hey, we're doing this quite a lot, so they know it's coming from us. Usually it's got a patch, or usually it's something that's already been accepted upstream. So their kernel maintainers would have to look at it and go, oh, this is probably going to come to us anyway. Yeah? Now, could you do that as random Hotmail address guy? Sure. How will you get lost in the shuffle? That's what, well, no, that, that's, I can't speak to that one. Okay. Did I go through everything there? We do not support all the architectures that Red Hat supports, to be clear. Right? So we don't do PPC, we don't do Z-Series, we don't do Itanium. Yeah, we just do these two, which is what customers are demanding from us. Okay, so the question was, did customers request other distributions? We take a look at the different options there. We support Red Hat Enterprise Linux, Oracle Enterprise Linux, and SUSE as part of our Unbreakable Linux program. So that's something that you can pay us for support of those distributions. On some of them, it's an easy migration. Others, it's a reinstall, and I'll go through that in a couple slides later. But what we found was a lot of our customers could care less the distribution underneath. I want my e-business suite. I want my database to run at quadruple nines or whatever. You know, they're not doing KDE versus GNOME kind of flame wars. They could care less VI, Emacs, etc. I have commonly asked questions at the end, so I know what you guys are probably going to ask, but feel free. I don't mind. Customer demand was not there. Good. And it's not the enterprise distribution that we see customers are already running. So please continue.
Let's get to the other question.
Okay. Hope so. Okay, so we've got three different levels of support, right? And I did put prices in here. They're on the web anyway, but just to make sure people are clear. Prices are on the next slide, I think. Three different levels. What we found was we wanted to match the service levels. The overall reason for doing Linux with Oracle, lower the barrier to Linux adoption. Okay? You can tell I'm a sales guy. Yeah, maybe a technical one, but reality is I'm a sales guy. I'm compensated on Linux penetration, not selling Linux for Oracle. think about that a little bit, right? So my job is to spread Linux as wherever I can. I want to lower the barrier to entry for Linux as much as I possibly can in enterprise accounts. Right? I'm not going off, you know, OLPC is a great initiative. You know, Reddit's done a significant amount of work on that area, and the community hasn't. That's great, but it's, you know, we've got other philanthropic, you know, ventures from Oracle. We're specifically using Linux in the data center to drive customer interest and customer adoption, and you'll see that as I go through. So anyway, what we wanted to address with our support options were what's keeping people from deploying more Linux, or what's keeping people from deploying Linux at all. And what we found was, you know, the two top ones, so network support and basic support are kind of normal. What we added was something called premier support. Okay? What this means is, and I'll think I've got the actual, okay, you can read this while I'm going to go through it. Now I'm going to assume you're a techie audience, because you should be. Let's say you start on January 1 implementing a solution. This is a database, this is an e-business suite. It's something you've been regression testing with your SAN, with servers, for 6 months. Okay? 6 months into that project, you actually find a bug that's an operating system bug. Okay? You don't want to invalidate your entire 6 months testing by upgrading to the new release. Enterprise customers are coming back to us saying, you know, the advice they had gotten in the past was to upgrade to U4, U5, U6, whatever it is. Not, I just need this particular fix in my environment. So we introduced something called traditional backporting. This is available to all customers, not just select customers or the largest customers, all customers. If you need a specific fix backported to your environment, we will do that for you. So the number one thing we heard from very large customers on why they were not adopting more Linux or Linux in the data center. Okay? So when I go to the previous slide, you'll see that only the premier support has that option. Just as a being specific there. So what I just explained to you about the backporting is all there in a whole bunch of words, but it just means if you need a fix from 2.6.18-24 and you're running 2.6.18-4, we'll do that backport for you for that particular fix. Any questions on it? Yeah, sure. We need to backport whatever you need that's in the kernel. So if it's something that's released later, in other words, we may not be creating the patch. The patch is in -24 and you want it backported to -4. Yes, we'll do that. Absolutely not. If you're running just, let's say you're running, you know, 40 boxes and you don't want to invalidate the testing you've done those boxes, it's a mentality of how you update your systems. Let me give you an example. So, all right, let me make sure I got it right. There was a change to DevRandom, something to do with, okay, well, good. Then in not all cases is it going to change the ABI compatibility or device driver compatibility. It could be a fix just for that environment. Okay. This is just for specific customers. So in this example, large financial institutions, anybody that's done massive regression testing for a solution, who cares about the device driver for your EEPROM, you know, your gigabit Ethernet card, but you've got a bug in that, so you backport it just for them. So when I say, sure. We expect the change that we're making will be transparent, you know, above the operating system layer. If their device driver, your EMC SAN won't work because we're changing the, you know, the power path adapter, okay, that's different. That's a different set of problems. This is guts that are in the plumbing of an operating system that are transparent to layers above it. We can talk about it offline, because I think you've got a misunderstanding. This we've heard from customers, this is extremely valuable to them, backporting a specific fix to what they're running. It's nothing to do with MD5 checksums or PGP sums. It's not a security issue. It's a fix my bug and my thing that I'm running. So let's take it offline. I'll sit with you all day long if you want. Yeah, well, you should at least understand. Okay.
Just follow up on that.
Sure.
In terms of the customers that you have to ask now, my impression is that primarily this that off there. And then if they want to run some other enterprise, that's going to be in the kind of market.
Absolutely.
So probably less of a problem, but it's fundamentally time to
a yeah, exactly. But it's also, but it's not just limited to that. I mean, that's clearly the sweet spot if you want to think of it that way. But there are other places that you could have deployed. Let's just say, I mean, there's a lot of Oracle database on the back end of SAP installations, right? So let's say you're running SAP. You've got some bug that's it's an operating system bug, but it's known because you've been doing regression testing, haven't been taking the updates from the distros, us in particular. Then we'll backport that fix for you. And usually there's a whole documented case of symptom ABC. Causes this, we'll backport that fix just for you. Doesn't invalidate all your regression testing that you've had. Okay. So, there's something called Red Hat Network in Red Hat. There's something called Unbreakable Linux in Unbreakable Linux. So, you know, it's the same type of thing. Think of it as Yum repository. It's more than that, but that's the idea. So, if you wanted to if you want to migrate. There's some customers who asked the question of, if you want to migrate from Red Hat Enterprise Linux to Unbreakable Linux support program, why do you do that? You're pointing you're getting your updates from RHN, you're getting your updates from ULN. That's really the only change. You're just reconfiguring up to date or Yum, depending on your version. That's a configuration change that takes, I don't know, 2 minutes to do it. Okay, again, the entire goal of Oracle is to lower the barrier of entry to deploying Linux machines. So you also want to lower the barrier of entry to actually managing a large number of Linux machines. So we include our Enterprise Manager for free as part of our basic and premier support subscriptions, which is basic and premier. If you're a corporation, you're going to be running one of those anyway. Okay. This is something that's actually charged for, it's a hefty sum from other vendors. So we wanted to lower that barrier to entry again to zero. So if you buy one copy, you still get the entire support infrastructure for provisioning, managing, monitoring, and there's no fee per server. This is the thing that's called Oracle Management Pack for Linux. There's something called Oracle Enterprise Manager, and you have packs that go into that. And what we're giving away is the packs for Linux. It does, you know, configuration management, provisioning, all the stuff you'd expect kind of normal Enterprise Manager to do. This is what I mentioned before, how you actually change up to date to point to ULN versus Unbreakable Linux. So what's clear is that you do not have to do any reinstallations. Again, completely abides by all the proper open source laws and rules. There's the pricing. So to be fair to Red Hat, there are times when they will do backports. It's called a hot fix. You have to go through an escalation process to have that. That's based on your merits as a customer. For more information, contact Red Hat. So no equivalent support is no equivalent support. It's actually programmatically you can purchase and know you're going to get a certain SLA around backports. Okay. This just means... I'm sorry, this one versus which one? Just $99? I've already given you this in your delegate bag. If you want to get updates for it, then you've got to pay us to get updates.
So you need to do upstack, you have to pay for that.
Correct. So yeah, that's what you're paying us. So that's how you can reconfiguring it. Sorry, I wasn't clear on that. So correct. You got to have an account. Now, again, you don't get the installation media from Red Hat at all. You have to pay to get the media. So we're kind of going one step to lowering the barrier to entry to that. If you want updates, then you got to pay somebody. Any questions on pricing or levels? Is there a question in the back? So if you take a look at the actual motivation for Oracle, we can now support an entire stack, and there's actually a virtualization layer in the middle there for that's open sourced and Xen based. Control our own destiny. If we want a feature added to HPUX or added to Solaris, we have to go, you know, check in hand to those vendors and say, here, we want you to add this feature. With Linux, we hire smart people, have them do it upstream, and it propagates its way down to us. Okay. If you take a look at the actual testing that's done at a Red Hat or a Fedora or an open source, you know, community level, it's not the same level of deployments that are happening in our customer base. Therefore, we need to make sure that our testing is happening. So, for instance, a lot of regression testing we did on Xen as part of our Oracle VM offering found a significant number of bugs on timing issues. Now again, we've been contributing those bugs back upstream. It's just a matter of the testing that we are doing regression just because of our size. We can exploit and find bugs that other people haven't been able to. Customers have no finger pointing. So, you know, if you take a time whenever you've got a database deployed and you've got an operating system vendor, a lot of times you can't figure out who's doing that. Now it doesn't matter. You come to us and it's our problem. So we've blurred the line between the database and some of your infrastructure software and the actual operating system. And we've had cases where customers have come to us and said, you know, this is actually the one thing that we care about. We just want an Oracle stack to work. I'll call Oracle if it's broken. And now they have that ability. Comprehensive indemnification. The SCO lawsuit is actually behind us. However, you know, we still offer full proper indemnification, not limited to the amount paid to Oracle by the customer, as some FUD has been sprayed. So this is you can read the document on the web, so it's out there and go through. Again, all this is meant to lower the barrier to entry for people deploying Linux. You'll see we have a constant motivation here, which is trying to get as many people to deploy Linux as possible. How many of you remember the network computer that was Larry Ellison's vision a long time ago? Right? That was Linux-based. Right? It was never said to be the case, but that was Linux-based. And this is the team that did that pet project, if you will, for Larry, is the same team that's been maintaining as now our engineering team across Oracle. Clearly, we've built that team over since the years, more just giving you the lineage. Another thing that you'll actually take a look at is Oracle left it to other vendors to try to grow the market as much as possible. That wasn't happening as fast as we wanted it to. Therefore, we stepped into the market to try to lower some of the barriers that we felt were inhibiting customers from deploying more Linux. Support cost, a big, large company, you know, Fortune 50, that can actually back them on a worldwide basis. Okay. What are we giving back? Some of you may be thinking you're taking a lot. What are you giving back? So we've got a dedicated Linux development team. Everything we do is goes upstream, and then it's obviously, it goes to customers in the hotfix fashion, goes upstream, and then when that's accepted, it goes to Red Hat. Depending on the bug, both those may go in unison. Okay. Focused on real-world testing in a sense of we do not patch KDE, we do not patch GNOME, we do not care about, from a company corporate perspective, OpenOffice and those components, right? We are completely focused on the server side and the data center. So if you look at, there's a gentleman named Zach Brown from my engineering team. He's presenting in one of the other tracks tomorrow, the next day. He's specifically speaking on enterprise level features. Okay, we're a part of the Linux Foundation. We've done the Open Invention Network as well. Okay, what have we actually contributed? OCFS2 is part of the mainline kernel. That's a clustered file system maintained by Oracle. If you want support for that kernel, for that file system, you can buy Unbreakable Linux support and include support for the file system. So we have customers that have not deployed Unbreakable Linux. They have deployed OCFS2, and they want support for that. We will still support them under our Unbreakable Linux support campaign. Async.io, you know, how do you make a database run faster? We did a bunch of benchmarks. So there was things we needed in the operating system. We developed had our engineers allocated, and they fixed it and worked on it upstream. Here are some of the other things that we've been working on. You'll notice a very specific pattern, enterprise software, data center. Say it again? Yeah, sure. That works. Okay. As I said before, these are actual workloads, low memory, low disk space, low CPU utilization. These are test cases in my 10 years in the industry I've not heard a significant number of people doing on a regression test basis. Okay? That's the value that we provide in that piece. I mentioned before Oracle validated configurations. So if you go to the RHEL website, you could say, is a DL380 certified on RHEL 5? Yes, no. Right? We actually say, here's a solution we've tested in our entire environment using storage, using these HBA adapters, using this version of firmware on the HBA adapter, dot, 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 and you can deploy that with confidence. One of the most common questions I got in Red Hat was, which insert server, insert storage, insert HBA adapter do you recommend? And obviously we couldn't, you know, we had partnerships with all of them. So now in Oracle we said, well, listen, you know, these are the vendors that have come with us in our lab, put this together, here's ones we've known to work with these specific versions and specific patch levels, deploy these with confidence. We've taken the level of certification a notch higher. We developed a Linux test kit. We've released that as GPL and artistic license for those of you who are anti-GPL. It's just how we do some of our regression tests in Linux. Look at Oracle's use of Linux selfishly. We have a significant number of developers inside the company, 9,000 plus, developing on Linux. They used to develop on Solaris. 11G, Premier Database for us, was released first on Linux, and it gets ported to other platforms after that. So a number of customers come to me and say, I want to run 11G on what the developers are developing on. They feel like they get better support response that way. That is Linux. Linux is the tier one platform in Oracle. Okay. A lot of my internal company infrastructure runs on Linux as well. 10,000 systems. Okay. This is what I mentioned, the regression testing. This is the scale of the regression testing that I was talking about. Okay, this is again running latest versions of Unbreakable Linux underneath all of our database regression and our e-business suite, et cetera, regression testing. You're starting to understand the scale that Oracle brings to the table for testing. Okay, Oracle On Demand actually uses Unbreakable Linux and actually has Oracle VM as a component of that. There's a white paper on our website that actually goes through how we do that. So we're not just doing it for our own internal uses. This is what we're servicing our customers with. Okay, so we're getting short on time. I mentioned this yesterday. If you have questions on our virtualization offering, feel free to have a chat with me. I'm here all week. Commonly asked questions. So there's some other slides. I'll skip those for. So here, but this may answer your question, sir. Why is Oracle providing Linux support? Customers are demanding enterprise quality support, and they said that was one of the inhibitors to deploying more enterprise Linux. They wanted the backporting thing that we introduced. We got that idea from customers. Linux is not only strategic to Oracle, but strategic to customers. So when I left Red Hat in the interview process with Oracle, I said, listen, what if Linux goes away tomorrow? You know, is Oracle's commitment to Linux going to waver over time? They said, what are our other options? There's a long discussion, but I'll, for time. You know, are we going to go down the Windows path? Windows is still a supported operating system for Oracle applications, but clearly, strategically, there's some concerns there. If you take a look at what's happening in the Unix world, very large boxes are very expensive. What can run on commodity machines does an extremely great job? Linux. Therefore, you know, some of the strategic benefits. Why is Red Hat tracking Red Hat software as opposed to other distributions? It's the leading enterprise distribution. You go to any major company and they're running Red Hat Enterprise Linux, whether it's Wall Street, whether it's government, et cetera. I wish the CSIRO Bill was here. I can have a chat with him as well. But question. We're not interested in forking Linux. We had some customers frustrated by the quality of the Linux support they were getting. Therefore, they wanted a different alternative. And again, switching is easy. You can read those. Okay, so questions. Yep.
Just quickly answer. What is enterprise quality?
And you can stand behind it.
A lot of money invested.
Okay, for enterprise quality, that means you can actually have a support team behind it to willing to back and stand behind it for an SLA. Okay, so we have the expertise to say, we have expertise on this component of the enterprise distribution that then we can support. So that's how it's defined by our customer base.
And that has to be internal to the company.
Well, we're the ones signing a support contract with the customer, so we're liable. So yeah. We have to control, it's what I call control your own destiny. If you've got a community of people out here that are donating their time, that's interesting. But let's say that community goes away from a business planning point of view, you have to assume that. You have to have that competency inside your own company to be able to do your support contracts.
I don't think we're necessarily talking about the same thing, but why don't we talk
about it? Okay. Happy to. Yes, sir.
So now I can understand there is breaks in the balance because of the snapshot. I'm curious as to the pricing is substantially on the top of the place. Is that like killing the gold?
Well, it's a democratic world, right? We're look at it different ways. What else could you do to lower the barrier to entry for adoption of Linux in the enterprise?
If you're providing a feature set, primarily customer says, I want to run Red Hat, I want to run Oracle with a print setup, and I want to run a they're not really going to care very much.
So your quick question is, why didn't we price it the same as Red Hat, therefore we wouldn't be cutting off Red Hat somehow?
Well, it's a substantial difference. It's $99 versus $300.
Well, I mean, it's, in the end, it's we're abiding by the open source licenses. We're giving back patches to them, so...
I'm
Absolutely, and especially Spark boxes are extremely, I mean, whether it's PA Risk, whether it's, you know, the P series from IBM, or whether it's Solaris, big Solaris boxes, the cost of the solution is substantially higher. So obviously that's another barrier to entry. We're trying to get them to scale out with that, with, you know, with these boxes. Absolutely.
If a customer can still run Red Hat, keep on the and in terms of lowering the barriers of entry, with your specs, Shane, seems that you're trying to main driven.
Absolutely. And some of the reasons people didn't adopt larger Linux was nothing to do with the price of the Linux solution. It's the size of the vendor. So I got a lot of questions of, is Red Hat going to go out of business? I completely think they are not, to be clear. And I don't think that's the Oracle point of view either. It's just the fact of, you know, someone of the size of Oracle backing a solution that someone's going to go down a path for their architecture for some number of years. They want to make sure a vendor's going to be there to support them. And I'm not saying, I'm not throwing out FUD that Red Hat's going away. I'm just saying this is what I've heard from some of the customers in Australia. Cycle. Sure. And if you take a look at it, so when we announced Oracle Unbreakable Linux, we had a slew of products that were already certified on Red Hat. On the same day, we said those are certified on Unbreakable Linux because we knew under the covers nothing was different. This is history. You can go back and check it on the internet kind of thing. We announced that data. So we use that as a data point to our customers on, listen, we did that recertification instantly because we know what was changed underneath. Therefore, it's a data point whether the customer or partner wants to look at it or not. Sure.
Well, I really think this comes down to who the customer is
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the amount of money that customers pay Oracle already from an investment point of view. So let me quote you one thing. I've met more CIOs in the last 4 months of me being at Oracle than I was the last 4 years when I was at Red Hat. Now, that's interesting in a random sense, but what's the importance of the vendor to the higher level executives? That's why, if you want to know, I mean, I believe in open source software. I think it's the way of the future and all that. I can make a bigger difference in Oracle than I could in Red Hat. Simply because, let's say, it's just counted by number of CIO visits. And I've only been here 4 months. Right, so you start, and that's versus 4 years. So that type of impact is very different. I've definitely run out of time, so if you have more questions for me, I'll be over here and happy to have a chat with any of you as I can, but I'll be over in my time.